WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. This weekend, the work of young filmmakers focused on environmental issues will be highlighted in the 12th annual One Earth Young Filmmakers Contest. We spoke with the contest's founding director, Sue Crothers, and filmmaker Michael Rogowski, a third-year student at Loyola University who's part of the team behind the Kiribati Project. Sue started us off by explaining how this contest came to be.
Well, 13 years ago, the One Earth Film Festival was created around a coffee table of a bunch of local Oak Park activists, of which I was one. And the second year of it, some academics came to us and said, well, where is the youth voice in this? Mm. And thus the Young Filmmakers Contest was created. We had 18 submissions and a Lincoln Park High Schooler won. And now we have over 400 submissions.
Wow, it has grown, right? And then let's talk about who's eligible here. When we talk about young filmmakers, we're talking about third grade up to post-grad, like up to 25 years old, roughly?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
We do. Yes. All youth included for that youth voice.
Right. And they're doing short films between 3 and 8 minutes or 45 seconds for animation.
Minimum of 45
Minimum seconds. 45 seconds.
Yeah.
So as you just alluded to, you went from that first year having 18 submissions to now 400 from around the world, Sue. Right?
That's correct. We went global last year because we saw that there was a need. We had a lot of applications of submissions from around the world that we kept having to reject. So we did a pilot program, saw that we had something there, and now we are global.
You are global, and you're seeing some themes emerge, I hear. Talk to us about that. What messages or stories are these filmmakers honing in on?
Well, it's really interesting to see the change over all those years. You know, the simplicity from let's recycle our water bottle to let's walk to school. Now we're seeing films that have much more depth to them. They understand now the impacts of deep sea drilling. They understand the impacts of not just recycling, but actually the negative impacts of recycling on health as well as environment worldwide. So there's a lot more depth to understanding it. They understand that you need to vote, you need to go to legislation to make change, and that, you know, everything we do here doesn't go away. We all live in the planet together, so our actions here have impacts around the world. So it's really sophisticated thinking.
I mean, are you blown away by this, especially the really young ones that come in?
Oh, yes. The young ones who also understand ecosystems, you know, the importance of a butterfly and its impact on the entire ecosystem. It is astounding how much more educated and understanding. I mean, a lot of them are living it too, right?
Yeah.
So it's been a huge, huge shift.
I'm just thinking back to third grade and what I was thinking about. they would put me to shame, that's for sure. Let's bring you in here, Michael. You were part of the team, as I mentioned, from Loyola, who's making a film that tells stories about what day-to-day life is like for people on this island nation of Kiribati. So first, locate us, right? Where is Kiribati and how big is the country?
So Kiribati is in the Pacific Ocean. The best way for me to kind of tell someone where it is I tell them to look at a map with the international dateline. And in that little divot where it kind of makes a little triangle, it's right there. So it's actually one of the first places to welcome a new day. It's about 17 hours ahead of Chicago, I believe.
Wow.
And so it's not one particular island. I believe it's 33 different islands and atolls. The one that we stayed in was South Tarawa, which is one of the most populated and the most densely populated areas in the planet, I believe.
Wow.
Which is kind of hard to believe because it's...
Did it feel crowded?
A little bit. It's more the fact that it's difficult to believe that so many people can fit in an area that's about, I believe, a kilometer and a half squared. So yeah, it's just, it was very different, and it was just such a cool experience because I had never expected to be, you know, on the west coast of the U.S., let alone thousands and thousands of miles away on this tiny, tiny atoll.
So tell us more about what it was like working with the team there.
Yeah. The way it worked was four of us from Loyola University came down to the island, and we met up with this youth group on that atoll. And we created small teams of about three to four, with each member of the Loyola team serving as kind of like a group leader. Mm-hmm. And so what we would do is these individuals within our teams would take us to places that they felt were worthy of telling a story. That could be everything from, in my case, I had a team member who was part of the Kiribati Red Cross. He took us over there. We shot a bunch of interviews. We shot a bunch of footage of the services they offer, the people they help, what the most pressing issues for them are. Or it could even be, you know, a cool shipwreck that's like historically very significant to them or is a memorial to something. So that's how it worked. It was a very collaborative process. We would work with that team and kind of utilize their knowledge while also developing their skills as filmmakers.
How incredible to be able to learn all that and see that. I know you were paired up with a fisherman. So what should we know about his life and the story that he wanted to tell?
Yeah, so he was actually the subject of a small short film we made while we were there, which is what we submitted to the Young Filmmakers Contest. His name is Mataele. He and his family placed a lot of emphasis on net fishing, which is kind of what it sounds like. They go out with nets and they catch fish. And so the problem that they're facing is just the fact that it's becoming far more dangerous to do that sacred act of kind of like their culture, because it's harder and harder to catch these fish from shore like they used to be able to. Now they have to go out further, which is, you know, more expensive. They usually have to get a boat. It's more time consuming. Mm-hmm. It's more dangerous. And so when we floated the idea of making a short film, that was one of the most telling experiences and one of the strongest reactions we got was that they wanted to tell this story on how preserving their cultural traditions is becoming more and more difficult because of the climate crisis they're facing.
Interesting. And now your professor who led the trip interviewed Sane, who had this to say about water.
We're starting to have water issues. And then we just recently had a drought alert last year. So, we've been having a lot of issues with well water, meaning they're getting more brackish. They're not potable anymore. All these things are starting to be introduced to the country, especially on South Tarawa and the South Nalis, where it always gets too dry and then the well waters are not reliable anymore.
So briefly explain the effect this is having.
Yeah, so Sane, who was a very, very pivotal part of our production, shared that story with us, and it was kind of one of the main catalysts for us beginning to pursue this story. What essentially happened to her is that saltwater intrusion polluted her well water, like she mentioned. And for days and days, they were watering their plants, their trees, their vegetation with salt water that they did not know about. And so this speaks to a broader issue of kind of like I mentioned earlier, where they're not able to use their traditional means of livelihood because of the way this is affecting them. It's also very unpredictable. So for saying they don't know when that water will be fresh, when it will be seawater. I think when we were there the second time, it was fresh, it was fine.
Yeah.
But they're living with that uncertainty.
They have no idea.
That they don't know if they can even water their plants without risking, you know, destroying their livelihood.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just a very difficult situation that they face. And Sane was honestly a champion for getting us over there. She was kind of our liaison. She translated for us. Whenever we wanted to talk to a native or somebody that didn't speak great English, she was always there. She helped us find those youth groups. So I think seeing somebody so passionate about their way of life and calling for help is just something
incredible.
Yeah.
So, Sue, what can folks expect from this event this weekend?
Well, they can expect to...
More
of that, including Sane, who we interviewed also. The production interviews all of the filmmakers, all the winners. There'll be some filmmakers who are coming in from various places. We've got two arriving from California today, and they will be there live. Mm-hmm. But they will get to see the 10 winning films and experience broad topics on the subject. And I would say, and a huge education, you can just hear... right now with Michael speaking, you know, how in-depth these films are and the depth of addressing climate crisis.
Oh, I'm definitely intrigued. And you've got an event in November featuring the films that received honorable mentions, right?
We do. It's always hard to take 400 films and narrow it down to 10 films. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a question of, you know, a hair's breadth on something. So we have an honorable mention that we do. It's an online event on November 2nd, and we honor all those who didn't make the top one, but the films are equally as interesting and equally moving and equally emotional and also educational.
Yeah, special shout out to one I hear that's going to be from a middle schooler from the University of Chicago Lab School who made a film about cicadas.
She did. The incredible event that we all experienced earlier this year.
Those who listen to Reset know the cicadas are my favorite. Lots of sarcasm there.
Well, maybe you'll learn to appreciate them in a different way when you see the film, because she does explain the amazing journey that those cicadas take in order to for us to enjoy their sound when they did. And they did arrive after a 12-year journey.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll leave it there. We've been speaking with Michael Rogowski, who's a third-year student at Loyola University and part of the Kiribati Project team, and Sue Crothers, who is founding director of the One Earth Young Filmmakers Contest. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset's here with an inside look into the events happening in and around Chicago. If you're interested in hearing more, well, you can check out more Chicago conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely